Welcome to my Everyday Bible. This is day 6 in our reading in a chronological fashion of the Word of God. Today we will be reading from Job chapter 10 through the end of Job chapter 13. And this week we are reading from the New American Standard Bible. So let us begin with this amazing story of a man named Job. In the 10th chapter, we are hearing first from Job, who is speaking in answer to his three friends who've come to supposedly comfort him in a time when he was being very tried by some very disturbing circumstances in which Job found himself. He had experienced great losses in both his family, in his finances, and now even in his health. So as we open up Job chapter 10, beginning in the first verse, we find Job literally despairing over the dealings of God as he sees them with his life. So we're going to hear a lot of complaining going on in this first part, and then we move on to where one of Job's friends answers him, or you could really say rebukes him for his attitude or for the things he's saying. And then Job answers again in chapter 12 and 13. So as we open, understand that Job is the speaker and he's complaining. So the words you're hearing are written in the Bible. They're not God's opinion, but they are written in the Bible, recording what Job said when he was pressed so severely with very difficult circumstances that had come upon his life. Job chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. I loathe my own life. I will give full vent to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, do not condemn me. Let me know why you contend with me. Is it right for you indeed to oppress, to reject the labor of your hands, and to look favorably on the schemes of the wicked? Have you eyes of flesh, or do you see as a man sees? Are your days as the days of a mortal, or your years as man's years, that you should seek for my guilt and search after my sin? According to your knowledge, I am indeed not guilty, yet there is no deliverance from your hand. Your hands fashioned and made me altogether, and would you destroy me? Remember now that you have made me as clay, and would you turn me into dust again? Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? Clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews. You have granted me life and loving kindness, and your care has preserved my spirit. Yet these things you have concealed in your heart. I know that this is within you. If I sin, then you would take note of me and would not acquit me of my guilt. If I am wicked, woe to me. And if I'm righteous, I dare not lift up my head. I am sated with disgrace and conscious of my misery. Should my head be lifted up, you would hunt me like a lion. And again you would show your power against me. You renew your witnesses against me and increase your anger toward me. Hardship after hardship is with me. Why then have you brought me out of the womb? Would that I had died and no eye had seen me. I should have been as though I had not been, carried from womb to tomb. Would he not let my few days alone? Withdraw from me that I may have a little cheer before I go, and I shall not return to the land of darkness and deep shadow, the land of utter gloom as darkness itself, of deep shadow without order, and which shines as the darkness. Chapter 11. Then Zophar the Naamathite answered, shall a multitude of words go unanswered, and a talkative man be acquitted? Shall your boasts silence men, and shall you scoff and none rebuke? For you have said, my teaching is pure, and I am innocent in your eyes. But would that God might speak and open his lips against you and show you the secrets of wisdom. For sound wisdom has two sides. Know then that God forgets a part of your iniquity. Can you discover the depths of God? Can you discover the limits of the Almighty? They are high as the heavens. What can you do? Deeper than Sheol, what can you know? Its measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he passes by or shuts up or calls an assembly, who can restrain him? For he knows false men, and he sees iniquity without investigating. An idiot will become intelligent when the foal of a wild donkey is born a man. If you would direct your heart right and spread out your hand to him, if iniquity is in your hand, put it far away, and do not let wickedness dwell in your tents. Then indeed you could lift up your face without moral defect, and you would be steadfast and not fear. For you would forget your trouble, as waters that have passed by, you would remember it. Your life would be brighter than noonday. Darkness would be like morning. Then you would trust because there is hope, and you would look around and rest securely. You would lie down and none would disturb you, and many would entreat your favor. But the eyes of the wicked will fail, and there will be no escape for them, and their hope is to breathe their last. Chapter 12. Then Job responded, "Truly then you are the people, and with you wisdom will die. But I have intelligence as well as you. I am not inferior to you. And who does not know such things as these? I am a joke to my friends, and one who called on God and he answered him. The just and blameless man is a joke. He who is at ease holds calamity in contempt, as prepared for those whose feet slip. The tents of the destroyers prosper, and those who provoke God are secure, whom God brings into their power. But now ask the beasts, and let them teach you, and the birds of the heavens, and let them tell you. Or speak to the earth, and let it teach you, and let the fish of the sea declare to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this, in whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Does not the ear test words as the palate tastes its food? Wisdom is with aged men, with long life is understanding. With him are wisdom and might. To him belong counsel and understanding. Behold, he tears down, and it cannot be rebuilt. He imprisons a man, and there can be no release. Behold, he restrains the waters, and they dry up. And he sends them out, and they inundate the earth. With him are strength and sound wisdom. The misled and the misleader belong to him. He makes counselors walk barefoot and makes fools of judges. He loosens the bond of kings and binds their loins with a girdle. He makes priests walk barefoot and overthrows the secure ones. He deprives the trusted ones of speech and takes away the discernment of the elders. He pours contempt on nobles and loosens the belt of the strong. He reveals mysteries from the darkness and brings the deep darkness into light. He makes the nations great, then destroys them. He enlarges the nations, then leads them away. He deprives of intelligence the chiefs of the earth's people and makes them wander in a pathless waste. They grope in darkness with no light, and he makes them stagger like a drunken man. Chapter 13. Behold, my eye has seen all this. My ear has heard and understood it. What you know, I also know. I am not inferior to you. but I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to argue with God. But you smear with lies. You are all worthless physicians. Oh, that you would be completely silent, and that it would become your wisdom. Please hear my argument, and listen to the contentions of my lips. Will you speak what is unjust for God, and speak what is deceitful for Him? Will you show partiality for Him? Will you contend for God? Will it be well when He examines you? Or will you deceive Him as one deceives a man? He will surely reprove you if you secretly show partiality. Will not His Majesty terrify you and the dread of Him fall on you? Your memorable sayings are proverbs of ashes. Your defenses are defenses of clay. Be silent before me so that I may speak. Then let come on me what may. Why should I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hands? Though He slay me, I will hope in Him. Nevertheless, I will argue my ways before Him. This also will be my salvation. For a godless man may not come before His presence. Listen carefully to my speech, and let my declaration fill your ears. Behold now, I have prepared my case. I know that I will be vindicated. Who will contend with me? For then I would be silent and die. Only two things do not do to me. Then I will not hide from your face. Remove your hand from me, and let not the dread of you terrify me. Then call, and I will answer, or let me speak, then reply to me. How many are my iniquities and sins? Make known to me my rebellion and my sin. Why do you hide your face and consider me your enemy? Will you cause a driven leaf to tremble, or will you pursue the dry chaff? For you write bitter things against me, and make me to inherit the iniquities of my youth. You put my feet in the stocks, and watch all my paths. You set a limit for the soles of my feet, while I am decaying like a rotten thing, like a garment that is moth-eaten. In today's reading, we find Job doing something that is very common to man. When people struggle or find themselves suffering with difficulties in their lives, probably one of the most common responses to difficulty or adversity in life is to complain. That's a very human response. It's not a godly response. We're admonished in the Word of God to not complain, but to give thanks in all things. But instead, the most human, or you could say carnal, natural response of a human being when a person is going through difficulty or pressed with hard circumstances is to complain about them, and then to complain about God in those circumstances, or to God, even in prayer. We find people complaining to God or objecting to their problems, their circumstance, to the Lord. So in Job chapter 10, we find the same thing. Job says, I will give full vent to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, don't condemn me. Let me know why you contend with me, and on and on. So we see Job really struggling with his circumstances. Without a doubt, they are most difficult. There's nothing light about his adversity. It is a very heavy thing he's passing through. He just suffered the death of his children, physical problems with much pain in his body, and complete financial ruin. So this is not a light thing that he's passing through and complaining. And yet, we find him being very human here and very vulnerable. He's suffering and he's complaining and he's almost despairing of his circumstance. And yet we find a tension between his complaining and objecting, so to speak, to God about the circumstances. And then we find in a later chapter that Job is able to say Even though he's in the most difficult of circumstance, he's still going to trust in God. In the 13th chapter, which was the last chapter we read in this passage, we find in Job 13 a very profound statement that Job makes. And I would dare say this came out of his spirit. The complaints came out of his flesh, but what I'm about to read to you came out of his spirit man. The part of man where God has touched, the part of you that God has touched and works through, out of his spirit man came these very profound words. In verse 15 of the 13th chapter, Job says, "Though he slay me," referring to God, "though he slay me, I will hope in him." And obviously, the first thing in that statement to mention is that it's not God slaying Job, though he was quite aware of the circumstances. It was Satan himself that had unleashed this horrific battle against Job's life in an attempt to prove that Job only served him for what he could get. That is the bottom line of this spiritual battle that we're seeing here. Satan, if you will remember from earlier this week, said to God, does Job serve God for nothing? If you touch his flesh, he'll curse you to your face. He was saying Job only serves you because you bless him. And so Satan himself was challenging God over Job's life and about Job's life. He's saying, hey, this guy is blessed by you, protected by you. You have a hedge around him. He only serves you because you bless him, but if you took away his blessing, he would curse you to your face. So the spiritual battle that was happening over Job's life, though Job had no understanding of it, he didn't know what was going on. He's asking God, what is happening? Why are you, God, contending with me? The truth was, God wasn't contending with Job. Satan was contending with Job, trying to prove to God that this godly man, this most amazing servant of God, was very self-centered, and his service of God was completely self-serving. He was serving him for the good, so to speak. And yet, we find this man of God struggling with the difficulty. In the first chapters we read, in chapter 10, he's complaining and almost despairing over what he thought was God's dealings with him, because his friends are telling him, this is God dealing with you because of sin, which Job didn't accept those accusations. But despite all that was happening, in the 13th chapter, we find Job able to say out of his spirit, though he slay me, even if God killed me, I would still trust in him. So there was this, despite his struggle, Job still held on to his trust in the Lord. He knew God. He knew the goodness of God. He knew the faithfulness of God. And even in the midst of this, he never did as his wife told him to do, curse God and die. He never did that. He said, even if he slays me, I will yet trust in him. I will still hope in him. My eyes are still fixed on him. Though he struggled in the flesh with the physical problems and what he saw happen in his own life and family. So we find this tension, if you will, between the flesh and the spirit. And this happens in our lives. Have you ever been in a really hard situation? And I guarantee you the pressure on your emotions will be to say things you will later regret, as Job did. Job ended up regretting the things that he said to the Lord and about the Lord. Why do you contend with me? All those sorts of questions, why questions that he was asking God. When we get to the end of the book of Job and we find in the 40th chapter, Job answering God, when God says to him, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? God asks this question of Job. And Job's response is, I put my hand over my mouth. I was saying things I didn't even know what I was saying. I was answering things that I should never have answered, he goes on to say in the 42nd chapter. Surely I have spoken of things I didn't understand. And that's what happens to all of us when we are in difficult times. The temptation, the pressure on our emotions is to react to difficult adversities that we face with words, with statements, with questions, with why God type of statements and questions that we would later regret if we stood before the Lord and God revealed everything to you. You would regret every one of those complaints, those despairing words, those questioning of God's goodness. We are all there because Job's whole story gives us that insight, that when it all is revealed, we will be the ones wanting to put our hand over our mouth. And I bring this out because Job is a very human guy. We see his humanity here with him struggling. Though he did love God and honor God and believe in God and trust God, he struggled with the circumstance and said a lot of things that he later regretted. I'm bringing this up to simply say this. When you and I go through difficulties in our lives, it's very important to take heed what we say with our mouths, to not allow our mouths to just run off with giving full vent to our complaints, as Job said in chapter 10 here. We don't want to do that. We need to keep before us, regardless of what's happening around us, keep before us the vision of our good and trustworthy and faithful and loving God. That no matter what you're going through, it isn't God's fault. When no matter what you're going through, God didn't bring on these any disaster or adversity in your life. He's the one who will throw you the lifeline to pull you out of any adversity and difficulty in your life. It's the enemy of your soul that seeks to destroy you. Jesus very plainly told us in John chapter 10 what his life purpose was when he came to the earth, so to speak, his life purpose or his mission statement. And he also informed us what Satan's mission statement was. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he was referring to Satan. He says that's his whole mission statement, to steal, kill, and destroy. What do we see happening in Job's life? He stole all his finances. He killed his children. And then he tried to destroy his faith in God through physical problems and literally losing his health, and with the words of both his wife and some of his other supposed friends speaking to him. It was trying to steal his very faith in God. So we know that's Satan's purpose. But Jesus then says in the rest of that verse, but I came to give life and give it more abundantly. So we see it laid out plainly in the New Testament. Now, Job didn't have a full revelation of what we have because of Jesus' coming to the earth and the revelation we see in the Gospels and in the New Testament epistles and letters that we have now. So we have a fuller picture of what our relationship with God and God's relationship with man is all about. Job did not have that privilege of having all that insight, and yet he still believed God and trusted God, and somehow he was able to say in chapter 13, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. That's an amazing statement for somebody going through such dark times in his life. So if you're struggling, if you're walking through a night season, if you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, let God assist you. Receive his grace to put your hand over your mouth and not to say anything against the Lord or to question God or to accuse God, because it isn't God that's trying to destroy you. I guarantee that from the Word of God. It's the Lord who's trying to lift you out, lift you up, set you free, bring you forth as gold out of the trial that you're in. But don't be like Job, complaining and then later on having to put your hand over your mouth and say, I'm sorry, God, I said such things, I should have known. Your character is so clear. Let us be wise when we're walking through a difficult season and trust that God is good no matter what we're seeing. He's good all the time, all the time. Even when the circumstance isn't good, God is still good. Even when you're when adversity is pressing on you, He is still good and He is your deliverer and He will deliver you. The story of Job speaks to this issue because the end of the story, which we have the privilege of knowing, is that God not only brought Job out of this horrible season he walked through, it says that He gave him double portion of what he had lost. Literally, financially, family-wise, and his health as well. So understand that we can take different lessons from the book of Job. And the one I want you to keep in mind today is that when you are pressed with difficult circumstance, be careful what you speak. Don't give full vent to your complaints. We could all do that, but it never bears good fruit, ever. We end up having to repent for what we said. We need to just focus on the goodness of the Lord and put our trust in Him and let Him bring us out of the difficult season that we may be walking through. God bless you. Have a victorious day.